Hello, everyone. This is Jean Carriger, President of Capstone Marketing. I am thrilled today to be talking to my friend and colleague, Brenda Sleeper, who was recently inducted into the Association for Accounting Marketing Hall of Fame. Brenda is a BRN Relationship Director for the BDO Alliance, where she manages the relationships with various BRN firms nationwide. Brenda has helped make things happen at AIM since joining the organization in 2001. She was AIM's Volunteer of the Year in 2010 and served on the AIM Board of Directors from 2012 to 2016. She has served on the Business Development and the Member Growth Committees and continues to be the AIM Ambassador. Brenda, congratulations on being inducted into the AIM Hall of Fame. Very well deserved.
Thank you. I was truly shocked. I don't know if you know how they did it, Jean, but because our conference was the same night, at the same time period, they set me up to do a video for the AIM Ambassador for volunteers. And then, you know, I got all dressed, I put makeup on, you know, and they're recording me, and I recorded it, did three takes, right? And then Kristen Lewis came on and said, you know, congratulations. And I'm like, what? I mean, I have to tell you, I was totally taken off guard. They really got me. I just want you to know. But I just want you to know, Jean, when I joined AIM, my first conference would have been 2001, and it was Toronto, I believe. And you were one of the first people that I met, and you somewhat mentored me, and you probably don't even remember that because it was a long time ago. So thank you.
Okay, so this is, well, thank you for saying that. So this is coming full circle because 2001 was the year they started the AIM Hall of Fame. And that's when Adrian Ornick and I were inducted in 2001. That's a great little like circle of life moment right there.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Like thank I you said, for
yeah,
that.
Yeah. No, it was, I walked away and I reached out to you and, you know, asking you for questions. And I think it was then I knew that AIM was special.
And it is. We both know now that it is very special, right? Yep. For sure. Yep. Well, the video you did with Kristen entertained us greatly as we were in the ballroom, you know, at the cocktail party. And your reaction was, oh, I got picked when I'm not there or something like that.
Yeah, of course I'm not there.
We just all laughed. Said, well, we'll give you extra applause and congratulations next year when you can be in person with us. Hopefully there won't be that conflict again, you know, with the conferences. You can't. Yeah. We can do lots of things these days, but we can't be in two places at the same time.
Right. True.
Oh gosh. Thank you. So Brenda, I know that, you know, you're with the BDO Alliance. You're not within a firm now, but you have been. So Brenda's got, you know, many different roles here in the course of her accounting marketing career, but I know that you're in contact with lots of firms, you know, and you know, lots of people and have the big network. So you know, kind of the pulse of what's going on here. So yeah. Tell us a little bit, you know, with this COVID crisis, you know, we're just over 2 years now of dealing with this pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. Tell us what you have learned about yourself or learned about your colleagues that can help you in the future.
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, I was in a little bit of a unique position in that I've worked remotely or virtually since 2005. So when COVID came along, it wasn't like my world from a work perspective was turned upside down like it had been for probably most people, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes when you work remotely, having done it for so many years, and Jean, you do it now, is that sometimes you feel a little isolated, right?
Since 1998, right? I've had Capstone Marketing. I've been working out of a home office, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Do you ever feel maybe lonely or isolated or such? And sometimes you do. And as a marketer, so anyway, sticking with COVID, I don't know. I just kind of kick in gear. I think I kicked into gear in terms of when COVID hit. It was like, okay, we've got this. You know, who are you going to be able to hang out with? You know, we were in Boston. We moved down to the Cape because it's a little bit more open air and not so crowded. And it's really interesting because all of our team has been working remotely. So we didn't really skip any beat. I would say that some of the colleagues and friends, I did feel bad for people that were maybe living alone and isolated completely, because I think that was really tough.
Yes.
And I know some people that, you know, quit their jobs or moved home or whatever so that they would have, you know, some sort of surrounding. But it's really funny. So when COVID struck and I was like, okay, we've got this. So everybody, people who know me will might make fun of me that I am the queen of steps. So 20,000 steps every day, like late at night, I was saying to my husband, okay, come on, let's go. So it was like this resilience kind of kicked in, right? And of course you also like want to keep your sanity, right?
Oh, for sure.
So every night there's this down here at the Cape, there's this 300 committee and it's all these trails. So every night I'd pick a different trail. We're going to go walk here. I can't even tell you how many trails we did or how many different trails we walked. But I think that when it comes to kind of what did I learn about myself and colleagues is just how everybody came together to help each other. And I'm hoping that when you say, you know, how can that help you in the future? I'm hoping that we hang on to that. You know what I mean? That with time, it doesn't disappear.
Yes.
You know, right? So we slip back into, I'm going to call them our old habits, and that we're still there for each other, and that we, from day to day, like you said, like being at the conference this year, everybody was joyous, right?
Oh, they were.
So we should, yeah. Let's hope we can keep that joyousness, if that's a word, right?
We'll make it right? A word.
We'll make it a word. We'll put it. But yeah, if we could just keep that, I think. But I think that just people's ability to help each other was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I would agree completely. I think we all are a bit more patient with each other these days and kinder. Mm-hmm. With all of these virtual meetings, you know, back in the day, if you know, when we were doing this and a dog barked or there was some sort of disturbance, people would be so offended, right? Oh my God. And now it's, oh, what kind of dog do you have? What's her name? What's it, right? It's just, I think people genuinely interested in learning more about other people outside of what you do together, you know, business-wise. And I think that is absolutely refreshing. And I agree. I hope it sticks. It's, we need a kinder world these days. So that's something that we can do to help with that.
We do.
I'm in.
Agreed. Me too. Agreed.
So again, your experience with all these firms and in the profession, you know, 20 plus years at this point, Brenda, what is the greatest challenge in marketing a CPA firm?
Well, it's interesting. You know, if you think about why they hire marketers or business developers even, right? You know, the game has changed today. You know, you can have employees, you know, we have some firms that they have employees in other states, they have employees, you know, remotely in other countries. There's some folks that decided, you know, I know a firm, one of our firms, they have employees that moved to like London. They took their family and moved to London for a couple of years, you know, something that was on their bucket list, but something now that they could do. So I think the greatest challenge right now with, and we have a firm in Maine, it's a pretty good sized firm, and they have employees in 40 states and they do work in 50 states. So I think the game has changed from a marketing perspective. The game has definitely changed. And one of the things I've noticed on a challenging side is that some of the marketers are finding that firms, because they have such issues with capacity, that they're not really looking to grow. Like they bring, you know, prospects to them and the partners are like, I don't have time for this. I can't do it. So I think that from a marketing perspective, that's a big challenge for some of the firms that, you know, that's what the marketing role is, mm-hmm. you know, or it's a big part of the marketing role. So as a marketer, sometimes you've got to switch gears too. So maybe you focus on retention, maybe you focus on expansion of services, you know what I mean? Kind of get more involved in client service, you know, or client service and such. So I would say that that's probably the biggest challenge is marketing in a in an economy where, or in a market where, as you know, everybody, it doesn't matter if you're in manufacturing or retail or what you're in, everybody is, CPAs had the challenge of capacity before staffing, right, and capacity, but it's now that much worse, but it's everywhere. It's not just in the CPA market.
Right. This is also an opportunity for marketers to play a more strategic role in helping their partners to right-size their client base. Mm-hmm. You know, I do this workshop, you know, I give it a good name, but it basically is about how to fire clients.
Yep.
And marketers could absolutely play a role in that too, because I believe that partners would be more willing to pursue those prospects the marketers are bringing to the table, particularly if they're, you know, good prospects, you know, ideal prospects.
Yes.
If they were ridding themselves of the clients that they shouldn't be working with anymore.
Good point, Jean. You know, this is the first, like this last year, you know, into last year and this year, this is the first time that many firms, Zoom calls, some of the in-person meetings we've had now, they're all talking about, you know, kind of getting rid of those C-level clients. And you know that we've been talking about this since 2000, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe even before that, you were talking about, let's get rid of those clients that aren't profitable, that really just perhaps you can move up market with your pricing and such.
Right. Yeah.
So, but it's really interesting to see, I mean, I hate to say that it took COVID or a pandemic to change the industry, but it really did. Right. You know, like I remember when firms would say, how can you work remotely? I'm like, your employees could work remotely. You have issues with capacity. Maybe people need to work from home a couple days a week. Inevitably, it was the same answer over and over again. That would never work in our industry.
Right.
And now
they have to
happened.
Be there. They have, right.
Happened.
Right. And that is true for the new hires. You know, they do need more handholding and live guidance and all of that. Mm-hmm. But for those partners, and I know lots of firms out there, they're trying to get their people back in the office in some sort of schedule or timing. It's never going to come back 5 days a week. I don't know. There are people who want to be in the office 5 days a week, but there are plenty that don't want to be in the office 5 days a week. So you talk about that challenge of they're not pursuing prospects that marketers are bringing because they're working with clients they shouldn't be working with anymore. Well, if you're working with clients that you shouldn't be working with anymore, and your staff doesn't want to be working on them anymore either, and anybody, any CPA could quit their job today and have another job tomorrow. So I don't know what it's going to take for them to really sit down and make those hard decisions.
It's absolutely
a challenge.
I do think they're doing it. You know, they're definitely... Mm-hmm. Based on the conversations that I've sat in on, more and more firms are doing it. I mean, they've even asked for letters, and I've heard conversations like, well, what happens when you fire a bunch of clients? Are you worried about what they're going to say on social media? And I mean, I've been through all these conversations with firms, mm-hmm. and it's really interesting to hear them kind of share back and forth, like how they're handling it. And it's hard because some of these clients may have been clients. They tried raising their rates, thinking, well, let's just give them a really big bump, right? And they stuck around. So then they raised their rates again. Guess what? They stuck around.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, and in some cases, you know, some of these returns could be done by an H&R Block or whatever. You know what I mean? I mean, that's not my words. That's what some of the firms have told me. And I'm like, mm-hmm. well, maybe you can transition them, help them so that you can move up market.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I think the pandemic made them see that, and especially with the capacity issues that, and the fact that if they don't want to work with them, the staff doesn't want to work with them either.
Right. Exactly. So, every staff person has a client they want to fire.
Yes. Yes.
So what factors or skills do you see help make marketers successful?
Well, it's an interesting question because if you think about it, when they hire marketers, they typically hire you, and there's a lot of different skill sets you could have, whether it's marketing research, strategy, website, PR, you know, branding. I think that you don't need to be all things. And I think it's hard for somebody to be, sometimes you have to outsource. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes marketers are kind of afraid of that. But I really think that, like I said, you don't have to have all the skill set, but instead of just looking at it from a marketing perspective and that you've been hired to do marketing, look at it from a business owner perspective. How might you do things in your role differently if you were an owner of the business, of the firm, right? Put yourself in their shoes. You know, would you be doing this campaign? Would you be doing that? Would you, social media, whatever you're doing, kind of think backwards. What are your goals for the firm? And then how can you participate on a broader level than just keeping in your lane and being just doing marketing? Mm-hmm. So I would say that it's kind of having that business hat, wearing that business hat, I think makes, believe it or not, and be to really be strategic in your approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you would agree that there are still a lot of, you know, generalists out there, you know, for those, you know, one marketing professional firms where the marketer is really doing a lot. Although I do see some outsourcing, I'm sure you do as well. You know, particularly maybe in the digital area or SEO or things like that. Can you speak a minute? Because I also see as marketing departments in firms grow, particularly, you know, with the largest firms, how specialists are being hired to be part of that overall marketing team. So a firm may hire someone that specializes in digital, or they may hire a writer to handle all of that. Are you seeing a lot of that?
Well, there's definitely more of that. It's really interesting if you think about it, because how I ended up in the industry was a firm that didn't have a marketing director, and they had outsourced a PR company. I'm not even sure what the strategy was for that at the time. It was to help them get better known in the community, right? And of course, this individual was really struggling with the firm and trying to get them to implement anything. And I moved into the neighborhood, and I moved because of my husband's job. And that's how I ended up going to work for this firm. And
we can thank your husband for that? Is that how it worked?
You can, yep. But remember, when I came into the industry, I came out of another industry and more of in a business role, so not a professional services company. So I knew nothing about the accounting industry. So I have to tell you that it was really AIM that rescued me. And I know I'm diverting to what your question was, but that's, I think it's important for people to know that, because AIM is just such a great resource. And I'm not sure that I would have stayed in the industry, honestly, without AIM, because it really helped me to understand, you know, all the great connections I made, like when I met you. But yeah, to get back to, I think that the job has become more complex, that you could be a generalist back then, because maybe there was, you know, like branding might have been one component, or, you know, and social media wasn't even social media.
Exactly.
Gene, I remember when I started doing email marketing, and people were like, you can't do that. That's a violation. That's privacy. You can't do that. I'm like, yes, I can. Yes, this is where it's going. You know, when I worked with Biz Actions, think about all the firms that did not want to email their clients.
Right.
And now look at us.
Oh gosh, okay. Brenda. So, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, you know, but in the Biz Actions days and the information we could collect based upon what a client or contact read or clicked on. And the advice then was, you know, reach out to that client, but don't tell them that you know what they read, because we don't want them to think like that we're watching them like Big Brother. And now it's like, hey man, we saw you click on this article. And what information do you want about
it? I know. And how about every time you, you know, you're looking at something on Facebook and then you go on to Instagram or something, and then all of a sudden you've got all those ads coming up, and my kids work in that business. So, so kind of the behind the scenes. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot more complex, I think. Right. So I do think that they are hiring specialists. And, I know personally from what I've experienced here at the BDO Alliance is that, you know, we have a small team of just two people, a marketing director. And then we did have I have a manager, and she really specialized in the social media piece, which we really weren't, you know, there. And, you know, now we're there, and the followers we have, and just But it does take a specialist, I think, to do that. And it also takes somebody that's interested in it. You know what I mean? Like somebody that likes to do it.
Right.
I think it makes a difference. So yeah, there's definitely some expansion going on. That's why we're seeing these on the bigger firms, seeing the departments grow.
Yes. Yeah. Which also can support the fact that marketers could really make a career out of accounting marketing if they chose to do that. You know, that there's fewer walls, you know, to run into, if you will.
Right.
Yeah. Which is exciting too, that is, because, you know, back in the days, the tenure wasn't all that long and that's greatly improved as well. So
we're doing something right. What was it, 18 months?
It started out at, I want to say 9 months.
Okay.
I've told the story a million times and I'll be quick. When I moved from Long Island to a firm in Atlanta, this was 1990. And on my desk was an article from the from PDI, one of their magazines, about the average tenure of CPA for marketing directors was 9 months. And I thought, what have I done? It just like it was waiting for me on my desk, right? So I lasted 11 months. That's when I went to BDO. So it just, oh my gosh, it's scary. We've come a long way, right?
We have come a long way.
Oh,
that's so
tell us what is your best piece of advice for accounting marketers?
My best piece of advice for accounting marketers.
Yeah. For the marketers.
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of folks who I've mentored over the years would ask that, what would you do first? What, how do you think I should position myself? What should I do? I think it's, so you sometimes, depending on the size of the firm, you kind of feel like you're on an island, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's why AIM was so important, because I felt like I was not, I'm one marketing person serving on an island when I first started. And then I met you and I met all these other people. And then I started collaborating. And you also realize that, you know, there's really nothing that's really started completely from scratch, that there's ideas out there that, so I think that if I were to start, become a marketer in a firm today, I probably would say, make sure that you're developing relationships and reaching out to find out what other firms are doing and communicating that and educating the partners. But you know, the marketing role has come a long way. Like you said, I mean, it's, you know, I don't want to say it wasn't respected. It wasn't understood, you know, but if you know, like when I think back when I first started, you know, the managing partner empowered me to do what I thought was right for the firm, and which was a great place for me because I can operate that way. And so I think it's understanding what the goals are for the firm, understanding the business, and being part of the team as opposed to just here's our marketing director.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's being part of that, the team, and understanding the business strategy.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's so important that marketers know how their firms make money, you know, what they do, right. And how that all works. So then on the flip side, what would be your best piece of advice for managing partners?
Interesting. To respect the marketing role. I think that through the years that, you know, with all the partners and, you know, somebody would hire a marketing director and they'd have one, maybe variations of what they felt they were there to do, is for them to actually empower them to do what they're there to do and to understand it, to take some time to understand it. I think in the past, sometimes, you know, marketing directors are hired for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
Right. So they might be hired because they want to grow the business. It's more of a business development role versus a marketing role. And marketing does play a key role in that. But what I've found in everything that I've ever done in terms of businesses is that when you get marketing and business development together, so it could be marketing and the partners or marketing and a business development role, when they work together, you're going to achieve much more than if they work together in silo. So if marketing works in a silo and the partners work in a silo, then you just don't have the great results that you can get if everybody can collaborate and work together.
Right.
So, I mean, it's empowering the person that you hired to do what you hired to do, and making sure that you both are on the same page, right? They understand what your goals are. Because sometimes I think, you know, the industry hired people and they didn't really know what they hired them for.
I agree. I think in some cases they would hire a marketing professional because Joe Smith down the street's firm hired a marketer. Oh, so maybe this is what we should be doing. Or I went to our association meeting and however many firms have marketers, so we should hire one too. Mm-hmm. Not taking into account what you really need the marketer to do, because you touched upon that. You know, they were mishired because they had the wrong skills. You know, if they're looking for somebody to represent the firm, you know, out in the community, you know, you need someone with a more outgoing personality or that's able to network and connect people together, or you really need a content person and someone's going to do a lot of writing, like you really need to get that person with superior writing skills. And we could give, you know, six other examples, you know, of how that would work.
Right. I think the key for managing partners is to be open to new ideas.
That's a great way to sum up this conversation right there. Well, we've been talking with Brenda Sleeper, the most recent inductee into the Association for Accounting Marketing Hall of Fame. Brenda, congratulations again. Well-deserved.
Thank you, Jean.
And I appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Jean. And thank you for all the years of your mentorship. I do appreciate it.
You are very welcome.
Thanks. Have a great day.